In our Bibles back to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to think about the story of Lydia that we read a little earlier. So Lydia is spoken about in verses 14 and 15. A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. I think it's even now a rather dangerous question to ask, isn't it? But I wonder how European you feel. That's been a big question over the last 10 years, perhaps even longer, hasn't it? And we know the great debate there was in the country running up to the referendum over European Union membership. And we thought that might sort the issue out and put the debate to bed. And yeah, it rumbles on, doesn't it? Post-Brexit and what the effects have been. And the whole question is summed up really in a sense by how European we feel. Like it or not, we're part of Europe as opposed to Asia or America. And so in a sense, this passage should have a particular interest to us. This passage is about how the gospel first came, or at least how Paul, the preacher of the gospel, first came to what we would consider to be modern day Europe, how it crossed the sea, and how in modern day Greece the gospel took a foothold. Now, I think it would be wrong to say that it's the first Christian who's found in Europe. We know Acts chapter 2 tells us that the gospel was preached to people from every people group and people even from Rome on the day of Pentecost. Some people were converted and they went back. And so in a sense, the gospel had already reached Europe. But this is the step over, in a sense, into Europe. And the first person who's converted, the first person whose life is dramatically changed in Philippi, is this woman, Lydia. Acts chapter 16 is going to go on to talk about two other people whose lives are transformed. I guess we'll have to wait till January to get to those because of a visiting preacher next week, and then December we'll be focusing upon the wonderful message of the incarnation. But this morning we're going to think about Lydia, and we're going to think about this lady. She's probably not a European either. She'd come from Thyatira, which is in eastern Turkey. But here she is, and she hears the Apostle Paul preach, and her heart is opened, and she believes the things that Paul has said to her. Now, we've been looking on these Sunday mornings at these different characters in Acts, people whose lives are transformed, and they're great stories. When people's lives are transformed, we're always interested to hear about it. When they're transformed by God's grace, we're always interested to hear about it. But we've also got to ask ourselves the question, has that happened to me? Has my life been transformed? Am I changed? We've had some different characters, haven't we? Different stories. A few weeks ago, we were thinking about that African man back in Acts chapter 8, and there he is on his way home in his chariot from Jerusalem, and he becomes a Christian, and his life is transformed. Last time we were in Acts, we were thinking about Cornelius, that Roman centurion who knew that there was something extra that he needed, and how Peter is brought wonderfully to him, and how his life is transformed. He becomes a Christian. And here we have a lady, Lydia, and her life is going to be transformed. And her story speaks to us too. There are things that happen in this story, lessons we can learn from this story that we must apply to ourselves. So I want to point out four things from the story this morning, and four truths that this story wonderfully underlines for us. The first is what great lengths God goes to save Lydia. What amazing happenings take place even for her to hear the gospel. Now you say, well, we've had that point on lots of these stories before, haven't we? So that Ethiopian government official who was in the chariot, remember how he has to come all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And it's not even there he hears the gospel, but in the desert, isn't it? And you remember how at that story we talked about how Philip is picked up from a scene of wonderful church growth. And he's transported to that desert place. And God brings them together. Why? Because that man needed to hear about Jesus. He needed his life being transformed. Or last time when we were talking about Cornelius, we said the same thing, didn't we? So Peter has this problem, doesn't he? He's been brought up as a Jew. And the idea that somebody like Cornelius, a Roman centurion, can become a Christian without becoming a Jew first really has to be overturned in his mind. And you remember the great lengths God has to go to bring that to pass. He has to show Peter a vision, doesn't he, with that blanket coming down with all the unclean foods on. And not only does God have to deal with Peter, but he has to deal with Cornelius as well. But you see, God is at work, and he wants to bring these people together because Cornelius needs to be saved. Now, as we read from Acts chapter 16, you see that Paul had no intention of being in Philippi that day. He was thinking about taking the gospel in another direction. He'd made these great plans, hadn't he? Verses 6 and 7 speak about them. Paul was the great church planter. He loved to go to places where the gospel had never been preached before. So he went to a place and he preached until people were converted and a church a fledgling church was beginning to take shape. But then when that happened, he'd move on somewhere else. And he was always eyeing up the next city and he had these great plans. But verse 6 tells us the next place he wanted to go to. In the Roman province of Asia, much smaller than what we use the phrase Asia for now. He wanted to go there, but God said, no, you can't go there. So verse 7, he thinks, right, we'll go to Bithynia, which was another area. If you want to look in the back of your Bibles, there are maps, and you can piece it together afterwards, perhaps. But the point is that even though he wanted to go there, God's Spirit said no. The Apostle Paul just knew in his heart that the plans that he was making weren't God's plans for him. And even while he's wrestling with this, he goes to bed, doesn't he? And he has a vision. And in the vision, there's a man who says to them, come over to Macedonia. Come over to Macedonia. So Paul thinks this is God's plan. And so he heads for Macedonia. And as he heads for Macedonia, he gets to Philippi. You see, he has to go to Philippi because there's a woman there who needs to hear the gospel. Her name is Lydia. And there's another woman later in the chapter who needs to be set free from her bondage to Satan. And there's another man, a jailer in Philippi. He needs to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so he might be saved. Acts chapter 16 tells us their stories. But you see, God wants Paul there. And he shuts that door, and he shuts that door, and he opens this one. But it's not just Paul who has to be there. Lydia has to be there. You see, Lydia's not from Philippi. She's from Thyatira. She's a businesswoman. Thyatira is many, many miles away. It's back in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. It appears, we don't know. We've only got these two verses to go on. But she's a businesswoman. She sells purple cloth. We get the impression, the sociologists and the historians tell us that probably covers quite a wide range. One or two people here in purple this morning, but it stretches from reds all the way through to blues. But she appears to have been a seller of this luxury purple cloth, and she's in Philippi. We don't know how long she was there for. She's there on business, it seems. Thyatira is her home. Maybe she was only there that weekend, who knows? But she's there. You might say, well, that was lucky, wasn't it? That weekend of all weekends is the weekend that she's there. She could have been there any other weekend and Paul wouldn't have been there. But Paul is there, she is there. Why is that? Oh, because God is bringing them together. because Lydia needs to hear the gospel. Lydia needs to hear about Jesus. And Paul tells her, you see, God is going to great lengths to bring Lydia to faith in Jesus. Ultimately, of course, God has gone to the greatest length to bring us to Jesus. He's given the Lord Jesus to us. Jesus has come not from Thyatira to Philippi, but from heaven to earth. That's what we're going to be celebrating in a few weeks' time. But you see, Lydia's soul is so important. It's so valuable. We sang earlier on, didn't we? Oh, teach me, Savior, teach me the value of a soul. That's how valuable Lydia's soul is. And God is going to stop at nothing to bring her to faith. Have you ever thought, perhaps that's why you are here this morning? You're here, hearing a preacher of the gospel this morning. I could ask you, why are you here? And you might give me all sorts of reasons. But maybe the reason you're here this morning is because God wants you to hear a message that will transform your life, that will save you from your sin, that will take away your guilt before a holy God, that will bring you into a relationship with Jesus Christ and mean that you can have heaven and eternal life through it. And if you hadn't been here this morning, you wouldn't have heard the message. And if a preacher hadn't been here this morning, you wouldn't have heard the message. But you see, God brings people together because their souls are so valuable. That's the first thing that you see here, the great extent that God goes to save Lydia. But then again, let's notice a second thing from this story. And again, it's one we've noticed with others. And that is that being religious isn't enough. Now, you see, Lydia is a religious woman. She's at the riverside praying. Now, you say, why are they at the riverside? Well, again, what we know is that the Apostle Paul, whenever he went to a new city, particularly at the start of his ministry, it changes at the end of Acts, but at the start of his ministry, whenever he went to a new city, he sought out the Jewish population first. The gospel is for the Jews first. And he was a Jew, and he wanted to reach his Jewish contemporaries with the gospel. And so normally he'd go to the synagogue. But for a synagogue to happen in a city, there had to be 12 men, 12 Jewish men. If there weren't 12 Jewish men, the synagogue closed. It's interesting how here, or just down the road in Newport, there was a synagogue for many, many years on Queen's Hill. And it's now a nursery, I think. Why? Because the number of men, Jewish men, diminished, and there weren't enough to keep it open. Well, it was like that in Bible times. And there wasn't a synagogue in Philippi. So the women, and if there'd been some men, what they would do is they would go to the riverside. Remember, Jewish worship involved a lot of ritual washings. And so a riverside was a good place to go because you could do the ritual washings. And so Paul, is there a synagogue here? No, there isn't. Well, I'll head for the riverside. And sure enough, he goes there and he finds these women praying, worshipping God. And Lydia is amongst them. So she's a religious woman. But she needs to hear about Jesus. Like that Ethiopian in the chariot, reading Isaiah 53 on his way back from a Jewish feast. What's this about? He had his Old Testament, but he needed to hear about Jesus. Or Cornelius, in the last story we looked at in Acts. He's a religious man. He's a prayerful man. He's a good man, but he needs to hear about Jesus. You see, Christianity isn't just religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus Christ for ourselves. It's not about rituals. It's not about washings. It's not about going to church. It's not about even reading the Bible. It's not about just praying. It's about knowing Christ, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. And you see, Lydia isn't in that place yet. And it's going to take a message from the Apostle Paul, an explanation of the gospel. We don't have here what Paul preached. It's not the same, but we know what Paul would have preached. Tells us, doesn't he, in 1 Corinthians, I determined not to know anything amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You've got a visiting preacher next Sunday. I wonder what he'll preach on. Well, I guess he'll preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. But if the Apostle Paul was the visiting preacher next week, you'd know what he'd preach on, because that's what he always preached on, Jesus Christ and him crucified. What did he preach on here at the riverside? Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, my friends, you need to know Jesus. You see, Jesus isn't just a historical figure from 2,000 years ago. He isn't just a man who walked the streets and between the houses in Israel and then was crucified and then rose again even. No, he's the eternal Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one and only way to God and to eternal life. You have to come to know him. You have to believe in him. If you reject Christ, you are lost and without hope in the world and in the world to come. Lydia needed to come face to face with Jesus. And so do you, my friends. You're here this morning. That suggests a degree of religiosity. It suggests that you're serious about spiritual things. But have you come to that place of believing in Jesus, trusting in him with all your heart, having him as your Lord in your life, as the Savior from your sin? Lydia was religious, but she needed to be saved by the work of Christ. Let's notice a third thing from this story, and that is that Lydia had her heart opened. You see, that's how it's described. Now, you have it there in verse 14. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, again, one of the things we've noticed as we've looked at these different stories through Acts is how coming to know Christ, being converted, that's another biblical word, being born again of God's Spirit, that's another description. We've noticed how this transformation in these different individuals' lives is described in different ways. People are converted in different ways. Not everybody is converted like the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus, seeing a blinding light, hearing a voice from heaven. Many people are converted a little bit like Lydia here. She sat listening. Quietly, the Lord opens her heart. Quietly, she comes to faith. No loud voices from heaven, no blinding lights. For all intents and purposes, as you looked at Lydia, you would say nothing's happening, but the Lord's at work in her heart. And this is a lovely picture, isn't it? The Lord opened her heart. This is spiritual open heart surgery. When the Bible talks about our hearts, it's not talking about the pump that pumps blood around us. And, you know, if we've got a problem with our physical hearts, then we're going to be in big problem. No, it's not talking about that, is it? When the Bible talks about the heart, it talks about the real us. It talks about the seat of our emotions and our will. It talks about the thing that drives us, not physically, but spiritually and in many other ways. In a sense, it's the real us. And the Bible says that the human heart is sinful. We had it in Jeremiah chapter 17 earlier on, didn't we? Do you remember those verses we read there? We read there, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Or listen to what Jesus said when he was here upon earth, when he was talking to his disciples in Mark chapter 7. He says this, doesn't he? He says, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. That's what Jesus says about us. Jesus says, if you look within yourself at the real you, there are some pretty horrendous things in our human hearts. There was a story this week I picked up in the newspapers about a man who'd had physical heart surgery. He'd had a heart transplant. And the doctors gave him his old heart. And he held his own old heart, his old diseased heart, in his hand. Maybe you saw the same story. And of course, he had a new heart now, beating in it. That's why he was able to hold the old one. But he'd had a heart transplant. And he said, look at this. This is my old diseased heart. Well, I'm not a medical man, but I looked at that and I thought, well, I bet he's glad that's not in him anymore. If I was a heart specialist, I'd be able to say, well, yeah, I can see that. But he had a diseased heart. You know, the Bible says spiritually, we have the disease of sin in our hearts. And we need God to open our hearts, to give us a new heart, to change us. In the book of Ezekiel, we could have had that as our Old Testament reading this morning. One of the things God says will be true of the age when Jesus comes is that men and women will have new hearts. God will take that sinful heart that's full of those awful things, adulteries, evil thoughts, murders, lewdness, covetousness. Take that away and he'll give us a new heart. And that's the picture. That's the picture that we have here in Acts chapter 16. Lydia, this businesswoman, she has her heart transformed. She becomes a new person. You see, that's how radical the Christian message is. You see, you're here this morning, if you want to know what the Christian message is, it starts with you need your life radically changed. Not just polished up at the edges, not just tinkered with like the engine of your car to get it to go faster or to get it to go smoother. No, you need a radical transformation because by nature, you are all those things that Jesus spoke about. And just one of those things is enough to shut you up out of heaven. But Jesus has come so that your heart can be changed. So that you can be given a new heart, so that you can be transformed. And you see that first, well, that Sabbath day in Philippi, Lydia sat by the riverside listening to Jesus being proclaimed, her heart opens and she becomes a believer in Christ. Now again, here's the challenge to us 2,000 years later. Has that happened to you? Many of you are here Sunday by Sunday, and you hear the message of salvation. You hear about Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We pray through Jesus. We're going to remember Jesus' death here this morning as we break bread together. Now, has your heart been opened? Has it been radically transformed? Because that's what you need. Lydia's heart was opened. And then there's a fourth thing that the story reminds us of. And that is that what happens inside must show itself on the outside. Saving faith always has outward evidences. So Lydia's heart has been opened. And she says, well, what have I got to do next? I need to be baptized. And she's baptized. Probably there and then, it seems. But she wanted to be baptized. Baptism is the evidence, is the way of showing to the world that I've become a Christian. And she's baptized there, perhaps in the river or perhaps a little later. But she is baptized in water on confession of her faith because she wants people to know that she is a believer in the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 15 tells us that it wasn't just she who was baptized, but her whole household. Now, that's a very interesting verse. And Christians have argued about what that verse means. probably ever since the verse was there. We see something similar happening in the story of the Philippian jailer at the end of the chapter. Well, maybe that's something we could discuss Wednesday afternoon, as we often do. Let's lay that aside for a moment. Let's just notice that Lydia was baptized for the time being. On confession of her faith, she said, "Yes, I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm going to show that by being baptized." But it wasn't just that, was it? She then opens her house. She says to Paul, "Right, come and stay here." So she obviously has a base in Philippi. She's not, as it were, just there for the day. But she has a house there, and so she invites Paul and this little band that's described of people who were with him. "Come and stay here. What's mine is yours. I'm going to publicly identify myself with the preaching of the gospel and with these preachers of the gospel, because I'm part of them now. And I want to do what I can to speed the work of the gospel." You see, when we become a Christian, it has outward evidences. It has outward evidences in the church. It has outward evidences in the world. Lydia had realized she'd been washed from her sins, and she wanted to show that in baptism. Lydia realized she was now part of the people of God, and she wanted to show that in baptism and in hospitality. Lydia realized that she was now part of this great work of evangelism as the gospel spreads not just in Asia but in Europe. And so she's going to help that by opening her home so there can be a base for the preaching of the word in Philippi. And you see, when we become Christians, that's what we do as well. We want to publicly identify ourselves. Remember what we said the other Sunday morning. If we believe in our, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. You see, it's lip and life. It's not just for Sundays. It's not just for the times when the church meets together, but it's for life. And what happened to Lydia must happen to us. Maybe that's why you're here this morning, because you need to hear this message. You might be like Lydia, religious, eager to be in the place where prayer is made, but has your heart been opened? And are you living your life now in a way that shows that God in his grace has transformed you too? Well, may God bless his word to us. We'll be discussing it again, God willing, on Wednesday afternoon. And join with us then, and we can think a little bit more about it perhaps then. Let's sing.